What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
Please don't take your diagnosis from TikTok or Instagram. I'm sending out the back signal. Don't do that. Don't do that.
The What's Good Podcast.
Are you ready?
Your number one source.
To all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good? Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast, and we are in season 9, and we're so excited. We're still in wellness. This is a new season. Of course, we have a new guest. We're going to go ahead and get started with her soon, but as you guys know, we do not have interviews. We have genuine conversations, so let's get to it. We have the wonderful Christia Rogers with us. How are you?
Hello. How are you, Pri?
I'm good.
That's so good to hear. I am great as well. I know we met a few years back, right? And so I'm super excited for us to really get into the conversation today. However I can support you, let's get the story out, how we can support people that's listening. So let's get into our icebreaker. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so our icebreaker for you today is, if you could design a retreat for emergent therapists from marginalizing communities, what would it be and what would the vibe be? And what is one lesson you want everyone to leave with?
Woo! Now, that is a good loaded question. I love that. It's not just touching to me because I do work with lots of students, practicum student clinicians, as well as associates. And I kind of want to craft that because I think the biggest thing that I would want the takeaway to be would be the self-care piece. Healing self before you're going out there and just going willy-nilly on the world. Because the things that we do carry and that we help clients with, it gets heavy. And then we also are humans. That's one of the big things, the misconceptions of people when they hear about being a therapist, psychotherapist, counselor. They think, oh, you guys have it all together. Those are lies. They're lies. Don't believe them. We don't have it together. We are just able to put ours in a box and work on them when we need to and then help others, you know, with the same things that helped us. That's all.
I love that. So with that being stated, what would be one workshop centered around self-care that you would do?
I think it would be the healing piece and restorative. So healing and restoring, because that builds your resilience to things. And so that was one of the things that I learned, that healing was a part of that self-care journey. It's okay to tap into those things. It's okay to talk about them. And regardless of what we think, it's, you know, we probably do have a little bit more trauma built into there, but we need to work on. So it's healing and restorative. And it's like taking a glass of water and feeling that. That's what I would want to focus on for each clinician.
I love that. Get a little refreshing and get back to it. Let's start with us. And then from there, we make sure we show up right for everybody else. So I love that.
Love that.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into our genuine conversation. We always start off with who is the guest. So for you, who is Christia Rogers?
Well, I am Christia Rogers. I'm the CEO as well as clinical director of Bridges to Crossroads Counseling and Intensive Care. So I say more intensive because sometimes we might need more care than your once a week, once every other 2 weeks. Sometimes we do work with clients that need 2 to 3 days a week. That's on the heavier side. But then we also work with clients that we only see once a month, and, you know, once a quarter, you know, once a year. Just depends on what we're doing. My Bridges to Crossroads is located in North Richland Hills, Texas. We do virtual all around Texas. Haven't branched out and dipped our toe into other states as yet, but that is in the works for sure. So that's who I am.
I love that. I love that. So I know you've been, based on your bio, you've been doing this for over 15 years. How did you get into this space?
Well, it's really funny and kind of funny, huh? But I was an educator. I was a career coach. I thought that at this point in my life, I would be an Olympic track and field coach. I started out as an athlete in track and field in college at Texas State. Eat 'em up, cats. Woo. That's how to wrap them. And so I was a coach. I fortunately was able to have a really successful coaching program at Duncanville High School here in Texas, state level athletes, all those things. But I found that spending more time with the girls outside of that and knowing the care that came with it, you know, I wasn't just building an athlete, you know, or a track runner, those kind of things. It was more to it than that. You know, it was giving them something that they are going to be proud of, that their body did, that their mind did, that they were able to overcome. So I wanted to see other, you know, teens be successful. So I thought that it would be a good thing to go ahead and go back to school. And I did that and got my master's and all the credentials and all the things, student loans included.
I know, right?
And became a counselor. And so now my practice, I have 6 therapists on staff, as well as some practicum students too, and see a multitude of people. We see people, not just one area. We see all people.
So I was going to ask you, as far as, do you have a specialty? But like you mentioned, you see all people, right?
All people. I did start in the teen area. Like I said, I was in high schools, and so that's where I started. I 24 years in education. So I started when I was a baby, you know, teaching and coaching. And so it was the focus in the beginning. But then just opening my doors for counseling lended lots of different diverse people that I met along the way that also helped me with educating myself, you know, taking a deeper dive on how people heal, because it's different for everybody. You know, some of the things that we use as interventions may be okay for me or for you, but it may not be the same for someone else. That's what I've learned along my journey, is that, you know, this isn't a one-size-fits-all therapy. You know, this is for the individual. And that's kind of how I branded from there, is like, we don't say no to anyone, you know. We'll let you know what we can do. And there's several other therapists within the practice that could help in certain areas, like couples. We do military families. We do families. We have a grief group that we have right now that meets on Mondays in the evening, a women's grief group. So we expand everywhere. We, you know, across Texas, you know, we have several different therapists that do stuff in their little neck of the woods, if you will, just bringing that same type of perspective.
I love that. So what made you branch into doing your own practice versus being under another practice?
You know, let's talk. We're not going to name any names.
But
I have a history of working in mental health hospitals. I used to do assessments where there are emergent assessments in areas across the DFW area where clients are in crisis. And during that time, learning to do these really brief acute assessments that, you know, the certain hospitals that I would work for were more so into, oh, their insurance is good, not the person. Real talk out there, unfortunately. So once I was told that, no, go ahead and admit them, when I said clearly that it wasn't, that would require me to have to backtrack on some of the assessment that I did. And I didn't feel comfortable with that. So what I wanted to do was create a space where it's not about the money or your insurance. We want to make sure that you're able to see someone of quality. You're not going to just see some blow Joe. You know, each of my clinicians have been hand selected. I don't just do a roundup at the corner and say, come one, come all. Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to add value to the space that they're in. I want them to be able to take ownership at Bridges to Crossroads. I want them to know that, hey, this is part of my business as well. So that's what I like to do, and ensure that the clients can look across the seat and see someone that they can relate to. Uh-huh. So that was what it was, bigger than just me working for someone. I had to figure it out. I was like, so how do I make this work for me? You know, it took a lot of turns. I didn't make all the good choices in the very beginning, because I'm just that person. I'm kind of a hard head and control freak, recovering control freak. So I've learned a lot from that, is like, you know what, ask, you know, people to help, ask other people that, you know, have been on this journey. And that's kind of how I collectively got here. And so I help other clinicians do the same.
Nice. So with that being stated, because there's a lot of moving pieces that you mentioned, you're helping people, not only your clients, but you have colleagues, you have clinicians. It's a lot of different moving pieces. So how do you take care of yourself at the end of the day? Like you mentioned, it can get really heavy with taking on other people's problems, solving other people's problems. So
how does that solve other people's problems here? Mm-hmm. You know, project anything onto them. It sounds, you know, we want to give a perspective of like, hey, it's different for everybody. We give options. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We support those decisions, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But getting back to your question, it is a lot of working pieces. And sometimes I do overwork. I'm finding out now, like I said, I'm a recovering control freak, where I can ask people for help. I can ask people to come sub in when before I would like, no, this is my baby. No one can do it. You know, but yes, there is, you know, creating a team around you. I have supervisors that I come and sub in if I am not going to be here. I have lead therapist that's now part of the team. We have billing specialists. Right now I'm looking for a front desk person part time, because that assistant is important. It's a lot of work, guys, you know, and making sure that we're in compliance, because we do want to run a facility that's comfortable and people feel safe. And that's important when people walk in the door, as well as virtually. There's a virtual environment that you can create. Uh-huh. And that's what I think is very important. So it takes a lot of work, but I do take breaks on the weekends for sure. I really kind of don't do anything. I try to do the least I can, but self-care, you know, getting the water, you know, grounding myself, exercising, taking, you know, spending time with family and close friends. Those kind of things are fulfilling. I love to travel, so I will travel. Learning how to really travel and relax is another lesson that I'm learning, because you can travel and be stressed.
Absolutely.
But I've learned to relax, and it's on a whole nother level where you're being able to be present. I make it a point to not try to take too many pictures. I want to be in the moment. I don't post, you know, my vacations, because I want to be present. I don't think that's up for an option for the world to see and tell me I should have went here and not there. This is my journey, you know, so I don't know. There may be a picture or two, but I think it's important for me to be grounded and be present rather than being involved in the hoopla and everything else. So that's how I take care of myself.
Very nice. So I want to get into an important question, is what does mental health mean to you? And that could be to you, for your clients, your clinicians, whatever that case may be.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because it is definitely about defining what this means to everyone. There's a reason there's a stigma about going to see a therapist, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's the definition, you know, mental health. Oh, that means you're crazy. Well, you know, and for everybody has their own special little quirks. I like to call them quirks, you know, and little oddities, but they're ours. So to me, mental health is anything that is keeping you from being the best you. So in your mental health, it's, well, more so of if it's interfering with your mental health. Let's put it that way. It's anything that gets in the way of you living a healthy, mentally healthy, physically healthy life. So if you're having too much anxiety, I need to check in with my mental health. What's going on? So that's kind of how a broad definition of mental health and wellness, because like I said earlier, it's different for everybody. It doesn't mean I need to slap a label on anything or anyone. It means more so of how can I be the best self that I can be in the change that you want to see in the world. That's, you know, that's kind of, you know, what I see. It's mental health.
Very nice. So you mentioned earlier, it's not just about, you know, problem solving, right? It's providing support. So I want to know what it looks like when, of course, we hear it all the time, check in with yourself, see what's going on. If you see certain things, you don't feel the same anymore. What does that actually mean as far as, you know, you supporting someone and letting them know from therapist side to check in with yourself? Because some people really don't know what that means. Like, I don't even know what it means to be by myself. You know, because a lot of people didn't realize until COVID happened that you have to sit down with yourself, pause, take a moment. So from a therapist standpoint, what does that mean to support somebody to let them know it's really time for you to check in with yourself? And then what are some tips and tricks for them to actually dive into checking in with themselves?
Oh, this is good and layered. Okay, here we go. It's going to look different for everybody because, and I keep saying that because it's so individualized. Mm-hmm. But like I was saying with mental health, and sometimes we don't know, like you were saying, is like, you don't even know how to be by yourself. And this is true. So if you start to having these recurring themes of maybe avoidance, that's a big one, where you miss things, you procrastinate, you don't get things done like you wanted to, you can't focus on things, that's the time to check in. Okay. Our bodies have their natural, it has its own natural defense mechanism, if you will. We're built with it. It's our Cro-Magnon mind, if you will, not to get too sciencey and things like that. So our central nervous system does give us alerts, and your emotions, okay, our emotions are what signals us and tips us off when you will wait to the very last minute to get something done. It's you're avoiding something. What? You know, the fear of failure. You know, okay, if I put out this podcast, you know, now there, I know there's mistakes in it. Yeah, but you know what? Nobody's going to know besides you. You're the person who created it. So that's a signal that something's going on with your body. Hard to get up in the morning, avoidance again, tired, overly tired, and you weren't before, like last month. Paying attention if you're worrying more, like, you know, you feel like you have to keep being in everybody's business, you're avoiding your own business. I usually tell clients to like, okay, so, you know, what are you doing for yourself? So you check in. So what are you doing for you? You know, are you being alone? Are you spending time, you know, painting? Are you spending time listening to music or creating music? Tapping into those things that you really used to enjoy, dancing, you know, love to dance, you know, girl, get a good line dance going.
I know, that's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself for hours on line dancing. You know, it's a good thing. It feels good. You sweat a little bit, you work out. But when it comes to it all, do you get that motivation to keep going and doing what you should be doing? Absolutely. You know, like, okay, it's not so bad. You know, okay, I can get back to work at this project. You're looking for that place of calm, if you will. I know people play video games. I do that and I can get lost on my phone.
Right.
But I decide, is this avoidance? Mm-hmm. So this is one of the things you can tip you off in. So anything that we do, and it's kind of a cliche, but too much of a good thing can sometimes be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Considering like the overindulgences, you go to brunch every day this week and have a pitcher of mimosas everywhere you go, and you should have been at work, you know, so you have to kind of pay attention. Yes, brunch is great. Mimosas are great, you know, but then, you know, you have to consider, did you miss work? Did you not get to hang out at a family function that, you know, everybody was expecting you or needed to be there? You know, your kids, you know, yourself, you know, when's the last time that, you know, that you made sure that you were grooming yourself, you know, appropriately? So it can be over, you know, overly done because you're trying to escape something. But if it's bringing you energy and it's like, yes, I needed that getaway with my girlfriends. That was so good. Now I can focus on things. So it's at one end of the spectrum and the other. And so you have to see if this served me. So if you come back after a vacation with girlfriends and you feel as tired, or you didn't get done what you needed to get done, or you didn't have good pictures because half the time you had the phone down, or, you know, you fell down, or, you know, something went horribly wrong, you know, then you have to kind of check in of like, okay, I don't think that's how that should go. I mean, it used to bring me a lot of joy to hang out with friends and I was able to get back to work. This was a whole bunch of mess. It was, We got into a fight. What's going on? So check in. How are these events serving you? That's another way to ask it. How are these events serving me? If not well, check in. It's time for me to do something different.
Very nice. Okay. All right. I love that. Okay. So my next question is for you to tell us more about the Associate Academy. Give us a little bit how it's created. The name of it is real cute because I can kind of see what it means. So let us know a little bit about the Associate Academy.
Okay. I deemed it the Associate Academy because when I got out of school, well, let me just kind of give a general picture. I'm a licensed professional counselor supervisor. So when you first get your license, after you take your big test, after you have your 4 to 5 years of schooling to become a therapist, you have to do a supervision, which is kind of like a residency for doctors, do their residency and have to do all these things. As therapists, social workers, etc., we have to do 3,000 hours of direct and indirect. So I'm a supervisor, so I am able to host that for clinicians, and they're considered as associates. Prior to that, they were interns, but now they're considered as associates. So at that level, they're master level clinicians. So they have all the education in a small fraction of real life work. So I'm here to help them get the real life work and putting all that they know into practice. So I deemed it the academy because I go from start to finish. So your client, you know, figuring out how to get your client, your butts in the seat, all the way to business and branding. So I'm not the greatest at branding and being a marketeer. So I listed other people to help. You know, help me out. I think I've referred somebody to you as well as, you know, for podcasting and, you know, just trying to help them figure out their course, because not every therapist resolves the same issues for clients, if that makes sense. And we don't really, like I said, we support more so, but support looks different. I'm going to keep saying that because I like a person that's going to tell, you know, that's going to be really direct with me, is like, okay, how's that serving you, Christia? Okay, not at all. Okay, what are we going to do next? I'm action oriented. Some therapists and clinicians may be more reserved and not give you that feedback and just let you kind of figure it out. That may be something for you that you like better. Some people don't want to be confronted. I'm a more confrontational type of therapist. And so we have several clinicians that have different ways of viewing that. So I'm here to help that associate help their client heal. And they have to come up with their own philosophy.
Cognitive. Is it like a foundation or framework?
It's a framework. It's just basically an outline of because each month they have to have 4 supervisions, individual hours, or 3 individual hours and 1 group of supervision. So I bring lessons. So I'll have PowerPoints to teaching them the ethics and legalities of being a therapist and how that plays out in real life. We talk about having your own practice and what that's going to look like, how to form their own paperwork, etc. So that's why I call it an academy, because they really are learning things and doing things along the way. So once they finish their hours, they're basically able to walk out the door and have their own full practice and ready to go. So they see the clients that they see under me or here in Bridges to Crossroads, they take with them. I can't do anything with those clients. I didn't work with them generally. So I'm the third party out. So, you know, when we try not to use names as much as possible, we usually use either first name, last name, whatever, initials, but we do case conceptualization in that during the Associate Academy. So, you know, let's figure out. I'd like to see the Academy is more of an addition to school. So that's why I kind of call it an academy. You know, you wanted to kind of have that same kind of, they're learning things and they're developing their skills in real life. So, you know, you have your practice and this is where they get to develop those skills.
I love that. Okay, one last question before we get to our next segment.
Okay.
I have come across several people in the wellness as far as therapists.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having a hard time when it comes to compliance, when it comes to not sharing too much on social media or just creating content, period. because they still, of course, like I have clients, but I also want to share with people, regardless of where they are, I just want to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to get shut down by their practice because they're sharing too much. And so that's where the compliance comes in. And they're like, I need to find a good silver lining of just sharing just broad content. But how do I do that? So you, what I've gotten from you, I see the name, The Bridge. Like, you really support people in different ways. Like, you're the bridge in different ways. So with me knowing that and learning that today, how can you help therapists that are wherever they are in their journey, wanting to do more on social media, creating content without compliance, shutting it down?
Right. And that's, man, it is, because this is the direction of therapy. Of course, you know, I do tell my clients, please don't take your diagnosis from TikTok or Instagram. I'm sending out the back signal. Don't do that. Now, I like that it's out there. I really do, because it does give people more insight. But once again, you know, please go with a real therapist that has some, you know, has some credentials with
them. Right.
As for how we as clinicians, we post, it is some ethical guidelines that we try to, you know, adhere to, we should adhere to, and legalities of it is confidentiality. So I can't very well bring a camera into our secret session here, so not secret, but it's confidential session, and then post it on social media. Not unless they give me permission. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if that's the standard that you're going to take, of course, if some, this, it's inviting, I think, more problems than not, if that makes sense. Because somebody say, she was talking about me in that session. How dare you do this? And blah, blah, blah. And
yes.
So you have a lot of, you know, confidential things that happen. I don't share those types of things, but I know that there's ways around it. I can generally say that I've helped lots of couples regain footing in their relationship without saying anything at all about any of my client lists. So it's how you share it, not what you share. Now, you could still get some backlash because somebody's like, oh, you talking about my relationship. Was I? And why did you feel targeted and threatened? So that's a whole nother therapy session. Why did you feel that you were targeted when it was right after we met? Okay. You know, but still, there is some things that you don't share. You don't share names. You don't share faces unless they say it's okay. When I do retreats and things like that, we do have a confidentiality, rights to confidentiality to certain things, like their pictures being used, or if they're going to give a review, we give a signed written consent. Mm-hmm. And it's more so general. You know, not so much specific, not unless they want to say, you know, hey, she helped me get my marriage right. She helped me get my life right because I was doing this and not that. That's up to them.
Right.
You know, and so you can create a limited confidentiality rights and have clients sign off on those if you're going to be using content like that. But I would just say, just be very careful in what you're putting out there. And you can form it and, you know, AI can help, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing, of course, of teaching the newer associates now is with AI technology, chat boxes, et cetera. They can help you get things going marketing wise right away. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to put up a post with, hey, this was going on, I want to do a post with this. And so using it ethically is, I think it's a good thing, because you can talk about what you want to post and it will combine some things for you. And I think that would be more helpful along the way of giving more of a general rather than a specific, not unless it's a friend, you know. Say for instance, Ayanna Van Zandt, you know, she put all her people on, you know, on Front Street, you know.
Absolutely.
They've signed clauses to say, hey, yeah, you put my stuff out there. Mm-hmm. So that comes with a lot of different levels that it'd be cool, you know, if that's what they want to do. But you have to know what brand you're trying to put out there and making sure that you're doing it on the up and up, making sure that you have the credentialing to be able to do these things and be safe with people. Because these are people's lives out there. They may not want it out there. You need to make sure you're discussing with them. And one of the things is do no harm for us. So is that going to harm your client for putting it out there? You have to ask yourself that question before you start putting things out there. So
very nice. Bye. That was awesome. No, that was really good. Okay, so our next segment is our highs and lows, peaks and valleys. During your process, during your journey, let's talk about a situation that questioned you. Should I stay on this path? Should I not? Should I pivot? And then how did you get over that situation to be where you are today? And that could be through your practice. That can be as, like you mentioned, a supporter, a mentor, whatever the case may be.
Okay, so I can really think of a specific time when I did have to pivot. I am a go-go person. Now learning slowing down a lot. It's when I look back over time and when I was in school, I had a kid. So he was like school-age kid. And I was going to college, getting my master's. I was also coaching at the time. I was track and field. So back in the day, track and field was over 2 or 3 days. And, you know, and so I'm looking back at it and I'm like, how did I do that? How was I doing that and had the energy to do it? So I remember when I made the decision to go full time in my practice. I did a soft launch before I started. I was in education and then I was moonlighting, call it moonlighting, as a therapist. So I take a few clients, you know, 10 clients, but then it started building and getting bigger and bigger. I became a supervisor after that because that's a whole separate entity to do. I became a supervisor and then I started picking up associates. So I was seeing clients. I was going to school working 40 plus hours a week because I'd go in at 8 or earlier. I'd stay after. Then I was seeing clients after that.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I started like kind of clocking my hours and I was putting in like almost 80 hours in a week. And you don't realize what you're doing because I'd have to see my clinicians. I'd have to, you know, see my clients. I had a kid. So the weekend, I was a weekend warrior, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to get my self-care in, but I was wearing myself out.
Yeah.
So I got to a point where it was just like, what is wrong? And I'm checking in. It goes back to what you were saying before, is checking in on myself. I was missing sessions. Like, even though I had a software that would hold the calendar for me, like all my scheduling and all the places I need to be for school district and all the things that I needed to do for clinicians, but I was started messing them up.
Yeah.
You know, and overloading. I was, you know, not as present for my son, you know, and it was in my family. So it was kind of like a turnaround, like, what is going on with me? I really felt like I was like in this loop of like, what is going on? And I wasn't feeling fulfilled. I was starting to get, you know, a little disconnected from things. So a friend of mine was like, so when are you just going to just stop doing the school and do your practice full time? Because you're doing about the same amount of hours. And it was one of those things of like, it was so comfortable. It was just like, this is an easy thing. I can go to work every day and not do this. And then I can go do my passion project. But I found that if I would have put the hours in my passion project, I'd be just as successful and more happy and more content and happy. So I went ahead and I left the school district. It happened to be right at the end of COVID too. So that was a big change for me. I didn't know what I was going to do with my practice, but it was an odd time. So, because I was like, I'm not completely virtual. I had a few college students that I saw virtually, but I hadn't put my whole practice out there. So it was a big change for me. And it was kind of that checking in. My emotions were kind of all over the place. I was very conflicted. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, I paid attention and asked myself a few questions along with my friends, and, you know, my loved ones, like, girl, what's going on with you?
Talk it out with the people.
And sometimes you need that. You know, that's what, you know, learning how, you know, to take help, you know, constructive criticism of like, yeah, you're not, you know, going on all cylinders. And so I had to check in with myself. So sometimes we don't always see it.
Beautiful. Okay, so now on the other side of the spectrum, what is a high that you want to celebrate with us? Pack on the back to say, hey, I did this.
I am really proud that last year was at point in my practice that I was able to sit down for a minute. So I went on vacation for like almost a month. It was fabulous. I was able to go to Italy. Me and my partner went to Italy. It was fabulous. But it took me almost a week to relax because it was my practice. What am I going to do? What if they need me? What if there's a question? And I had hired someone to, you know, come in and do the supervision for me, be clinical director. If any, you know, any fires, they were able to put it out. So I was really proud that I was able to do that because for me, that's huge, letting go of the reins of something and it sustained by itself, you know? And life was okay, you know, and that was big for me. I learned a lot in that about myself, too, is like, hey, girl, you did it. Uh-huh. You know, this is kind of that coming from, it's a good segue from, you know, that turning point in my life of like, girl, you do it too much. Right. To the, huh.
The sigh.
The sigh, you know, girl, it's okay. Things can go. And you did it. You know, I learned about a lot about business. I got the opportunity to reflect on that. You learned a lot about sustaining a company in healthcare. It was good. And so I'm really thankful for that and that learning experience. Got a lot of wisdom, you know, from it and hope to continue to do well and learning more.
Congrats to you, because I know you mentioned a few times that you have a controlling factor. So in that lesson, that shows me like you're doing it. You're turning the trajectory of that stigma of controlling and just letting loose and allowing people to come in and support you.
Yeah. And let it happen.
Yeah.
And I see that in my leadership style kind of, mm-hmm. you know, from that, because I could, you know, empower others to be in good leaders as well. It's like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be good. Just trust your instinct, you know? So I was like, oh, look at me.
Right. I love that. Okay. So last one is, what is one free advice? I think a lot of times people pay a lot of money coaching or going to seminars or whatever the case may be. And a lot of times this stuff goes over our head. I've been in several meetings, webinars, all the things. And I'm like, what did I receive from this entire time I've sat here? So what is one free advice? It could be one word. It could be a statement, takeaway for somebody to receive that's listening to this episode. And they can actually get started with that type of action today.
Okay. So I challenge everyone. I want it to be a challenge, okay? Because this is what I do. Action. You know, we want action, and I want it to be for you individually. What is one thing individually that you would do for yourself if money was no object? Let that be your takeaway. Because I did talk a lot about healing, you know, talking about that, the sigh moment, the aha moments, and things like that. You know, and especially in the climate of things, you know, jobs and, you know, looking for the next thing, what would you do, you know, with yourself if money wasn't an object? You know, possibly living without fear, possibly being able to be alone and be confident in that, you know, and knowing that you don't have to ask anybody for, you know, hey, help me be happy. You know, what would that feel like?
That is so good. I'm going to have to do my own challenge. I'm going to have to write that down myself and answer some questions for me. That was really good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Christia, we are towards the end. Can you tell the people how to reach out to you? LinkedIn, website, social media, all the numbers.
Yes. So I'm on LinkedIn, of course. My name, Christia Rogers. I am in there. Also, I have a website, bridgestocrossroads.net. I'm also on IG, Bridges to Crossroads. I do have a TikTok for just me, but it's the same thing. So you're going to get the same thing that you would get on my website. So, oh, I'm also on Facebook, Bridges to Crossroads Counseling. You should be able to find me there. So I think I'm in all those little spots. And yeah, I'm here in North Richland Hills.
Yes, absolutely. Do you have any upcoming events, books, anything for people to stay up to date with you?
Well, I don't have any books out yet. I did do a calendar this year, but we're almost at the end. But that's okay. I do have a calendar, and you can find it on my website as well, or reach out to me on any of my handles and say, I want your calendar. I do have an adult coloring book. I can hold them up.
Yes.
So this is my adult coloring book. And you have a little intro there. And then it has affirmations on there. Adults can color. And it's one of my solutions. I know this is backwards, but solutions is one of the things that I'm working on to get launched where it's more consistent with things that I do in session. I have a calendar that I create every year. These are pictures that I've taken. And also I have in there, you know, affirmations as well. So little pictures of me and my travels and so forth. So you can still get this and yeah, check out my website or either you can just contact us on IG.
I love it. I'm going to make sure that we put all the links and all the important major things that you have going on in the show notes so people can, of course, stay up to date with you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So as we wrap up, we have our motivational moment. Motivational moment could be a Bible verse, a quote, a statement that I saw from somebody on social media just scrolling. And I bring it on here. I share it. Okay. I share my thoughts. You share your thoughts. And it's a wrap.
Okay.
Okay. So today is an actual Bible verse.
Okay.
And it is, okay, getting my life together. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. And that's John chapter 1, verse 2. So as I was reading that, of course, it definitely goes with mental health. And I think it's really good just to pour into people. Of course, you have to make sure that you don't pour from an empty cup. You want to make sure that you take care of yourself. But I do think it's important when you're having a village and you're talking through a lot of things by yourself, that you can have that one person that you can talk to and they pour into you or you pour into them. So I think a lot of times when it comes, and I mentioned that on the last episode as well, that when we are alone, I think that's when we really get into our heads and we just feel like, oh my gosh, we can't self-diagnose ourselves. Let me see what's on Google. Let me see what's on YouTube. Let me see what's on TikTok. Let me see what the people are saying based on what I'm going through.
Yeah.
But if you could talk to somebody and they're wishing you good health, they're wishing you good wealth, they want the best for you, I think that's awesome to have that type of village to pour into you. So what are your thoughts?
Oh, you are right on the money. And one of the things that comes to my mind, and it kind of just echoes that, is what you put out there is what you get back. So when you are not in a good, healthy space, guess what you're going to be attracting? You know, and that's why it continues to feel so downtrodden. And then when we, you know, start to isolate ourselves in unhealthy ways, all we have is our thoughts. And those thoughts are what? Negative, you know. So finding that person, that, you know, one person that can hear you, or if you feel like you don't have anybody, a therapist, you know, you can go to your doctor and they're going to listen to you a little bit more, you know, and just reaching out. Because there's lots of healing and connection with people. You don't heal well by yourself. You just don't. And I'm not by yourself of like, okay, living by yourself, you know, you're being single or whatever. That's different. But by yourself, in meaning like you're not reaching out to anyone, you're isolating yourself, you're, you know, that kind of thing. But when you begin to connect with people and sharing what's going on with you, asking for help, you know, getting clarity of where you are, you know, but you have to want that and you have to be really ready to hear that there may be some things that you might not be doing great or healthy for you. And so knowing your circle of friends too is very important, you know, knowing your village, who they are.
Absolutely. Very nice. Well, it is a wrap. Is there anything that you feel like I've left out? Anything you want to add to the people?
No, you are fabulous at what you do, and I love it. I mean, even from the time that we first did I did your podcast where you mentored me in that, your interviewing skills are wonderful. You have, like, from then to now, fabulous. You are on point, girl. So
thank you. Thank you for pointing to me.
Girl, you have grown so much. I love it.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate you being here, supporting our listeners, supporting me. Like I mentioned, you gave me a challenge too that I'm going to go ahead and get started with.
Yes.
Indeed. So if you guys are listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you so much for listening to another episode of What's Good Podcast, and we will see you guys next time. Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Javon. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.